For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Greetings, welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the United States. The phone number 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, we got Ron DeSantis confirmed for the gathering. If you want to come see Ron DeSantis at the gathering August 9th and 10th, we're going to have a party with Glenn Youngkin the evening of August 8th. Text ENGAGE to 33777. You can use the discount code YR if you're a young professional. Get yourself a discount to the gathering. Now, I got to begin the show with Kamala Harris, and I'm going to use a phrase. It offends some of you. In fact, I want you to know, full disclosure, members of my family are opposed to me using this phrase. In fact, I dare say my wife has suggested I not use the phrase. But I'm going to. And there's a reason I'm going to. Because there is no better verbal words to give visual clues to the phenomenon I'm talking about. The one phrase, the phrase people say, Erickson, stop using. It's gross. It offends me. It's too much. It more greatly captures what we are seeing than any other phrase I can think of. And so I can't not use it, despite the admonitions of friends and family and many of you that I shouldn't use it. And so I'm going to use it to describe the phenomenon that we are now seeing, that we are now witnessing. The media has begun to hump Kamala Harris's leg. Oh, it's true. Listen, this is the conversation at MSNBC.
It's not always easy to execute, but they're doing it.
No question about it. I mean, we've been talking a little bit tonight about just what's coming her way, which is sexism, misogyny, racism, a lot of this. And I mean, making fun of her laugh. I hope she never changes her laugh, by the way. I think it's an authentic part of who she is. I saw you getting kind of almost emotional before when you're talking about Joe Biden, which is, by the way, how a lot of people I've spoken to who love him so much have felt. But what can we expect from Harris moving forward? How is she going to take on these attacks on her that are so gross and so misogynistic and so sexist? And how do you think the campaign should do that?
Well, she's going to do it with her head held high. She has an incredible posture. Let's start with that. And I think that.
Oh, my gosh. That was Jen Psaki pretending to be both reporter and Joe Biden White House press secretary talking to Amy Klobuchar and Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. But it's not just her. Here's the conversation on Morning Joe.
And Peter, we were just watching as Kamala Harris at JBA, Joint Base Andrews, was getting.
I'm sorry. This is MSNBC yesterday, not Morning Joe.
To a flight that's going to take her to Delaware, where she's going to be meeting with campaign staff like the rest of us, many of them caught on the very last minute of being shocked by what happened. It's possible just a little more than 24 hours ago now. Talk about her role in these early hours with so many people getting behind her to really shore things up, to shore things up with her campaign, to shore things up with the folks in Congress, and frankly, to move forward.
Yeah, she's obviously done a lot of the things that she needs to do in this first 24 hours. She spent 10 hours on the phone after yesterday's announcement, we're told, making phone calls to congressmen and senators and governors and other party figures. And that's paying off because, in fact, the road does seem clear for the nomination for her. No, but you can't beat somebody with nobody, and nobody seems to be running at this point. So she seems to basically have it locked up. Obviously, anything could still happen. But if they are not announcing by the end of today, it's hard to see how in this very truncated period anybody else could even mount a credible campaign, much less actually take her on. So she's already looking ahead to the fall, to taking on Donald Trump beyond the campaign, beyond the convention. She has to raise money, as she's already showing that she can do. She has to consolidate the party behind her, and she has to demonstrate that she could be a national leader in a new way, because while a lot of Americans know her, people don't know the vice president the same way they know a president. She's going to have that chance now to reintroduce herself, make clear who she is and how she fits into this political moment and what she wants to make the priorities of her campaign.
Speaking of, oh, I got to find this. Hang on a second. I got to find this clip. This is so priceless. Hang on. Yes, I'm doing this on the fly. Trust me, folks. I am a professional. Sometimes you wouldn't know it, I promise. But yes, here we go. This is a New Yorker's on Kamala Harris running for president. This is a montage from the Jesse Waters show.
So how does America feel about it? Are they going to vote for Kamala Harris? Johnny, hit the streets.
Joe Biden not running for president anymore.
That's good, bro. Actually good.
Cool, great. Everything's burning down.
Well, I mean, did you see the debate?
Well, I just had a bad night.
Biden insisted he was staying in the race, but then he released a statement saying he wasn't. We haven't seen him. What's happening?
I don't think Biden has done much of writing. I don't think he do most of the talking.
Somebody behind him pulling the strings or something.
Do you think that he knows he's not running anymore?
He probably don't.
You about to find out.
Democrats say democracy is on the line this election, but they just ignored the will of the people.
That's some.
I don't know. I think they trying to get us to do something else.
It's a secret plot.
Who should be the Democrat nominee now?
Can't tell you if there's a good candidate.
I don't know.
Let's say Kim Kardashian. Yeah, let's go with that.
We need Trump, bro. I don't really want to hear about Democratic right now.
My boy Bernie Sanders, George Clooney, you know, anybody.
Kamala Harris.
Can we get Obama back?
Not really. Maybe.
None of these people know who Kamala Harris is. There's one of them who knows who Kamala Harris is. None of them knows what's going on. These are the people who probably won't even show up to vote in November because they don't know when the election is. Low information voters, they don't know who Kamala Harris is, except too many people do know who Kamala Harris is. She has tried repeatedly to reboot herself. I want to give you the timeline because, you know, I mentioned this and I tell you all the time, she's tried to reboot herself repeatedly. Let me give you the timeline of the Kamala Harris reboots. It's actually kind of fascinating when you realize how often Kamala Harris has done this. She started in January of 2022. Beleaguered Vice President Kamala Harris plans image reboot. And then February of 2022, Kamala Harris is making changes. Don't call it a reboot. August 2023, I can't get into people's heads. Kamala Harris tries to reshape her public image. October 2023, the Kamala Harris problem as she tries to reboot. And what's happened? That's four times. This will be the fifth Kamala Harris reboot, the fifth. And the majority of Americans don't think she's qualified to be president. But wait a second, there's more. 24 hours ago, the New York Times had a grid where it's journalists, it's opinionators, it's pundits, it's editors, they got to pick who would be the riskiest and who would be the best candidate to be president of the United States, to attempt to run for president. Do you have any idea who the New York Times listed as the riskiest choice to run for president? Kamala Harris. She was actually listed further on left as riskiest choice, right as would beat Trump. She's further left than Gavin Newsom in the chart. Further left. Now, in the list of meh to exciting, she's higher than Gavin Newsom. But her electability was 4.6 out of 10. Josh Shapiro was listed as the most likely to beat Donald Trump, with Andy Beshear after him. Now, what's notable there is that Beshear is running very hard to be Kamala Harris's running mate. No one's heard from him. Now he's doing a national media tour trying to be Kamala Harris's running mate. Josh Shapiro has met with Kamala Harris, said she needs to find someone she's comfortable running with. He'll leave that to her. A lot of Democrats want her to do it. The thinking inside the Trump campaign is that Shapiro, because he is Jewish, would cause Kamala Harris problems. Though they can neutralize the problems, they're just not sure that she would be able to work well with Josh Shapiro on the road. I personally think he's the smartest pick. We'll see how much Kamala Harris is committed to winning if she goes with Josh Shapiro. And I don't know that Shapiro matters, because all eyes are going to be on Kamala Harris, but the media is going to hump her leg. They're going to cover for her. This has been, these last, month has been the most discrediting period for the American media. The same people who covered for Joe Biden and told you you were lying and not to believe your eyes about Joe Biden turned on him so quickly. They protected him. They circled the wagons. They wouldn't ask him tough questions. They defended him. They attacked anyone who questioned him. And now suddenly they've abandoned him. They've left him to rot somewhere. They're not even asking questions where he is. We haven't seen the president. By the way, I don't think he's dead. I don't think he's in a coma. I think he's shamed. I think he's embarrassed. He doesn't want to show his face. He was convinced that he could win, and all of his friends turned on him. I don't think he wants to show his face. I am a little concerned. It is creating a bunch of conspiracy theories out there. Where is Joe Biden? And those are understandable conspiracy theories. But I don't think that's it at all. I actually do think that Joe Biden is embarrassed. I think he's shamed. He's got a lot of pride. And now he doesn't want to show his head. And the media doesn't care. If the media isn't asking. The president of the United States has had COVID. He's finished his treatments. His withdrawal from the race was a letter on social media. His own staff did not know until a minute before it was posted on social media. The media is not asking questions. It's bizarre. They're not doing the job of journalists. They're doing the job of propagandists. The state-run media in North Korea is looking at American media thinking, holy cow, look at them. It's shameful what they've done. And now they'll do it for Kamala Harris. They will circle the wagons around Kamala Harris. They will protect Kamala Harris. They will defend Kamala Harris. They will cheerlead Kamala Harris. They will tell you that you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're a misogynist, you're sexist. If you dare question Kamala Harris, if you criticize her at all in any way, shape, or form, you will be a racist, misogynist, bigoted sexist who wants to put Kamala Harris back in the kitchen with the slaves her family owned. Yeah, that's going to come up, you know, by the way. Her family, major slave owners, that she descends from a major slave-owning family. This is part of the problem that the Democrats don't want to talk about, and it's one of the reasons Kamala Harris was not listed as very electable by the New York Times, is that she doesn't do well in surveys of black voters. Black voters don't particularly care for Kamala Harris, and they never have. She got elected in California on the votes of white people, not black people. She doesn't have the lived experience of a black American. She's the daughter of an immigrant from India and Jamaica, Asian and East Indies. She doesn't have the experience of a black woman from the South. That's going to matter. Those things matter. I personally, genuinely believe Kamala Harris is a weaker candidate than Joe Biden. She's less likable. She's far more liberal. She's not good on the campaign trail. She ran her campaign into the ground when she ran for president. I just think she is a very weak candidate, and I think she's more beatable than Joe Biden. But Donald Trump's got to step up and focus and start talking about the future instead of the past, because Harris is signaling she's going to make her campaign about what America's going to look like, not past grievances. Donald Trump's got to contain himself and do the same thing.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425.
Welcome back. It's Eric Erickson here. I want to make something way more explicit because I was running out the clock when I started on this, and I'll get back to it later in the show probably. But I actually think Kamala Harris is a weaker candidate than Joe Biden. And I know Democrats will hear this and say, oh, you're just spitting. You're so nervous about Kamala Harris. Not really. No. So the Quinnipiac poll is out. Now, I realize it's soon. She just got in the race. But it has Donald Trump 2 points ahead. The Quinnipiac poll historically benefits the Democrats. In fact, if you look at its polling on Trump versus Biden, the Quinnipiac poll, their last poll was Trump up 5. That was immediately after the CNN debate. But otherwise, it's had Joe Biden up like 6, up 5, up 4. It's a poll that tends to historically benefit the Democrats. To have Donald Trump up 2 with the introduction of Kamala Harris isn't good. Now, she's got time. She'll reboot herself. She might get a convention balance. I think people will be paying attention to her. But she's not a good candidate, and she's never been a good candidate. All of my friends last night, my buddy Jared, I know you're listening. It's like, I just feel like we just went from a landslide victory to now the wind is against us. I don't know that it is. Kamala Harris got a lot of hot air out there, and it's like not good. Kamala Harris ran a presidential campaign into the ground. Joe Biden has won a presidential race. Donald Trump has won a presidential race. They put Kamala Harris in the witness protection program to win the presidential race against Donald Trump. She was not a good candidate. She was not a good candidate. Mike Pence ate her lunch. She was destroyed by Tulsi Gabbard on the debate stage. She's not a good candidate. And the Democrats have known this. I mean, just think about this. This is how bad it is. 7-8 months ago, Democrats were openly in editorials and newspaper articles across the country saying, Joe Biden, you need to get rid of Kamala Harris. People aren't voting for you because they don't like Kamala Harris. That was the conversation among Democrats, not Republicans. Not even among members of the press. Among Democrats, their analysis 8 months ago was not that Americans realize Joe Biden has dementia. It was that they don't like Kamala Harris and they don't think Joe can serve 4 years. Joe needs to ditch Kamala Harris. And now suddenly they're, oh, she's the greatest candidate ever. She's just so wonderful. Kamala Harris, she's going to cruise us to victory. We can't be stopped now with Kamala Harris. Look at all the money she's raised in the last 24 hours. Kamala Harris, she's just so awesome. We love Kamala Harris. We love Kamala Harris. No, you don't. You don't like her. You haven't liked her for 3 years. It's remarkable to watch the Democrats try to talk themselves into liking this. It's like when you're being served Brussels sprouts and you don't like Brussels sprouts and you're being told the Brussels sprouts are delicious. We've wrapped the Brussels sprouts in bacon. We've covered them in honey. Surely you're going to like the Brussels sprouts. You can serve a turd sandwich on artisan-crafted sourdough bread, but at the end of the day, it's still a turd sandwich. And that's essentially what Kamala Harris is politically. And the Democrats, they can talk themselves out of this, but y'all, I'm sorry, she's not a good candidate. What is good, what you should want, is Vision Computers. 404 Compute, you can call them and say, I said so. Vision Computers is excellent. If you call them, Vision Computers can build you a computer. They'll save you money. They'll give you a great deal, and you get their award-winning tech support for free. But let's say you got a computer, but you need some help with it, and you don't have a Vision Computer. They can still help you with it. $179 a year. Not a month, not a week, a year. $179 per computer. You call Vision Computers, and you say, hey, I need you to be my tech support. Says Jim, my board op, he's used Vision Computers for years. Now, of course, he doesn't pay because he's got his computer from Vision Computers. But y'all, they will help you. They will build you a computer. They can be your tech support. Let's say you have a small office. You're in Sacramento, California, listening to me right now. You got an office of 5. You can't afford an IT person. Look at the expenses in California. You can call Vision. And, you know, your employees can all call them 15 seconds or less, get the answers to all their problems with their computers. 404Compute, visioncomputers.com.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. If you text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777, you can get the show notes, you can get the live stream, you can get the podcast. You know, let me give you a different word, actually. If you text data, to 33777. Click that top link. You can subscribe to the show notes, and as a radio listener, you're going to get a discount on it. The show notes come out as the show starts, and it contains all of the links to all the articles I'm talking about. So you never have to call the show and say, hey, can I get this article? It's in the show notes already. And then you can also marvel at all the things I never have time to get to in the show, but they're in there as well. It is extremely great. Very useful. Everybody loves it. You will too. And you get a discount if you text data to 33777 and subscribe. I want to talk a little bit about Joe Biden here because he's nowhere to be seen, as I mentioned. It's brewing conspiracy theories, and I will spend some time on why there are conspiracy theories at the top of the hour. But I want to say something first. Like with the word racist, we are polluting what conspiracy theory means. Because we're assigning conspiracy theories to things like, for example, the media is doing it. The media back in February, March, Jonathan Martin in Politico and someone at NBC said it was a conspiracy theory on the right to think Democrats would ditch Joe Biden as their candidate. Jonathan Martin, kind of snottily, actually, I think, says they don't know how politics works. Actually, we do. And we've understood for a while that there was something wrong with Joe Biden and that it would be made manifest on the campaign trail. All of us on the right knew that. That's not a conspiracy theory. And so people on the right, people on the left were saying this is a conspiracy theory. It's kind of like with COVID, like the plexiglass walls in the grocery stores between you and the cash register. We all knew that wasn't going to work to stop a virus and, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. No, it wasn't a conspiracy theory. It was common sense. There are conspiracy theories. There absolutely are conspiracy theories. There are people who get together and do collaborate in the shadows to do bad things, and those are conspiracies. And there are people who come up with crazy, convoluted ways to tie things together, and those are conspiracy theories. But what we're doing is we're conflating common sense with crazy. And unfortunately, too many people have broken the bounds between crazy and common sense. But then also some members of the media drip with disdain over the use of common sense by people and call those things conspiracy theories. It was never a conspiracy theory to think the Democrats would ultimately be forced to push Joe Biden out of the campaign because everyone on the right could see with their own eyes that Joe Biden was not up to snuff. And it was the members of the media themselves and the Democrats who decided that everything was fine and people on the right were lying about Joe Biden. And now they will do the same with Kamala Harris when we tell them she's not likable, she's a little weird, she comes across as odd, she comes across as detached, she comes across as too privileged in a cloistered bubble of coastal elites. They'll say, no, she's a woman of the people. She's a woman of the people. How dare you say that? That's a conspiracy theory. It's not. It's common sense. It always has been common sense. And so it's been common sense that there was something wrong with Joe Biden and the media denied it. The Democrats denied it, but we've been proven right. But right now, Joe Biden is seeding conspiracy theories. He hasn't been seen in a week. 6 days. He got off the plane in Delaware, suffering COVID. His doctor says he's undergone treatment. He's been given the antiviral Plavoxet or whatever. He has he's recovering. He's had a cough. As I said earlier, I don't think Joe Biden's in a coma. I see that nutter Alex Jones, there's a conspiracy theorist. He's in a coma. He's in a coma. No, he's not. He's shamed. His tail is between his leg. He beat Corn Pop and he couldn't beat Nancy Pelosi. He really wants to beat Nancy Pelosi now, probably. But Joe Biden is seeding the conspiracy theories because he hasn't been seen. If the prime minister of Israel comes to Washington and Joe Biden cancels his meeting with the prime minister of Israel, contrary to people on the right, Kamala Harris is actually meeting with him privately, but she will not go to a speech. It actually should be eye-opening, by the way, to people that the prime minister of Israel in the middle of a war comes to address Congress and the Democrats don't want to show up to it. That's why Josh Shapiro is a problem for Kamala Harris. But Joe Biden needs to be out there. Joe Biden's world is unraveling now. The Justice Department has suddenly announced that it has found documents related to the interviews of Robert Hur and Joe Biden's author who helped him write his book, who saw the classified material. They've discovered those notes. It's only a matter of time before they release the transcript of Robert Hur and Joe Biden. They can't really say it's going to cause deepfakes now that disrupt the election because Joe Biden's not on the ballot. They're going to have to release it. That's not a conspiracy theory. The whole logic of not releasing the tape was that it would generate deepfakes and disrupt a presidential campaign. It can't disrupt a presidential campaign when Joe Biden's not on the ballot. They're going to release it. But Hunter Biden, he's now dropped his lawsuit against Fox News. He filed the lawsuit, made a big deal about it. Now that his dad is gone, as an aside, you got to pity the fools, don't you, who invested in Hunter Biden paintings to get access? Suddenly those paintings, the value has declined. None of these things are conspiracy theories. This is just the reality. But Biden has set people up to believe things because while he called in, and yes, he did, he called in to the Kamala Harris gathering. The reality today is that he needs to be seen. He needs to be out there. You have a broad spectrum of people from the center left to the far right saying, this isn't good. We haven't seen the president since last Wednesday. It is historically odd he's decided to announce he's not running again through a letter. Lyndon Johnson did a 40-minute Oval Office address when he decided to not run again. Joe Biden sent a short letter. Barack Obama's response to the letter was longer than Biden's letter. 30 minutes later, Joe Biden sends a tweet endorsing Kamala Harris. We know that Joe Biden is not on Twitter. Who is running the Twitter account? Probably not Jill either. It's festering conspiracy theories, and that's unhelpful. It makes Americans wonder, what is going on with the president? Where is our president? Is he competent to lead? And they sure are being quiet about that. They're being very quiet. We need to see the president of the United States. We need to make sure. We need a well check, elder care well check on Joe Biden. We got to make sure that he's okay. We got to make sure that Joe Biden is fine. We got to make sure that there's nothing wrong. We got to make sure that no one has their hand up his butt moving his lips and moving around like he's a Muppet. He's a cadaverous Muppet. We got to make sure that Joe Biden is tanned and rested and not blue and cold. Where's Joe Biden? His campaign, though, fell apart. The Biden HQ Twitter account is gone. Washed away in history in the blink of an eye. You know what it reminds me of? I've gone back to this several times. And Joe Biden is our Ozymandias. The Democrats, they can claim that he's the second coming of George Washington and an American hero. Honestly, watching Democrats gather around the chalk outline of the splatter of Joe Biden after they shoved him out the window and look down at the cadaver bleeding out on the ground and say, no, you're the second coming of George Washington. You're an American hero. You've saved the country. They shoved him out the window. His departure from the campaign was as voluntary as exiting the building through the window of the 42nd floor. I met a traveler from an antique land who said, two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal these words appear, my name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look at my work, she mighty in despair. Nothing beside remains round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. And on the pedestal, these words appear, Joe Biden for President 2024, look on my work, she mighty in despair. He is Ozymandias. His campaign is gone. He has no reason to go on. He'll stay in the presidency. We would like to see him again, though. It would be nice if he fired the Secret Service director. An impeachment resolution has been introduced in Congress, I think by Lauren Boebert, to impeach. And you might get an impeachment out of this. Joe Biden is now officially a lame duck. No one is scared of him anymore. The Democrats and Republicans alike are furious. And by the way, I got to say something on that real quick. I got a letter or got an email from a listener. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Yes, Robert from Cartersville, Georgia. I'm upset about the congressional hearings into the Secret Service and wanted to suggest a perspective you could bring up on your show. I agree with the bipartisan calls for Secret Service Director Cheadle to resign and the search for truth about the egregious security failures. However, it seems obvious both Democrats and Republicans are only interested in being serious for once when their personal safety is at risk. When Americans are in danger, they want to play politics with our lives, livelihoods, and the safety of our children. They won't get serious about securing our border, but they'll get serious about their personal protection. It's like Congress is a bad soap opera, unserious and full of petty squabbling, but they get serious when their own lives are at risk. Yes, exactly right, Robert. That is exactly what we're seeing up there. And Joe Biden could hold the Secret Service director accountable. You know, Alejandro Mayorkas could fire the Secret Service director. But then that raises all sorts of questions about him. The fact, as I said yesterday when I ended the show, there's been no accountability. The only Democrat forced out of the Biden administration has been Joe Biden himself. It's remarkable. The Democrats will clean their house because they want to win the election, but the country, saving the country, they're not willing to force out anybody. And this is on Joe Biden. And now he's seeding these conspiracy theories as people wonder, where is our president? Why hasn't he been seen? Supposedly, he'll reveal himself at the end of the week. His schedule thus far has nothing on it as he recuperates from COVID in Delaware. Pride shattered. Lots of questions. Lots of questions. One thing, one other email. Let me, before I move on, got an email from a listener saying, why don't they make Joe Biden the vice president? You can have him be the vice presidential nominee, keep everything together. Why would you want to do that? There's no way. No, you can't make Barack Obama the vice presidential pick either, because Barack Obama, the vice president has to meet the qualifications of president, and a president can serve maximum 8 years or two terms, not even consecutive, just two terms. Trump will be limited. Obama can't run again, so he can't be vice president. There's no reason to conjure this stuff. It can't happen. But, wow, the scenarios that people are playing out there. All right, I got to move on. Before I do, I got to tell you, look at the turmoil out there. Look at the market turmoil. Look at what's happening with interest rates. Look at the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. They're buying up gold reserve, driving up the price of gold, betting on an economic collapse in the United States. The Congressional Budget Office is out warning, we got to turn the corner. We got to do something. Swiss America has been the trusted leader in precious metals for 40 years. They're warning people about a secret war on cash. If you're interested in safeguarding your hard-earned cash from the secret war on cash, you can get their report completely for free. They're rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau. Swiss America can educate you on protecting your assets in their report, The Secret War on Cash. All you have to do is call or text my name, Eric, to 800-289-2646. The report takes less than 15 minutes to read. It can save your retirement and finances. The Secret War on Cash applies to digital currencies, too. They're coming for them, and it's expanding daily. So call or text my name to 800-289-2646. 800-289-2646. You can also go to SwissAmerica.com/Eric, SwissAmerica.com/Eric, or call or text my name, Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 800-289-2646. 800-289-2646. Message and data rates may apply.
He's got the courage to tell you the actual truth, even when it isn't popular. It's the Eric Erickson Show. Want to be on the show? Come on, be on the show. Call Eric now at 877-973-7425.
I got to tell you guys, I think the funniest meme I've seen about the whole Biden withdrawal stuff is that, of course, the Democrats got rid of him. He was almost in full term. Yes, well played. Whoever came up with that, well played. They had to abort his campaign. Of course they did. Of course. In any event, this hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. If you're buying a building, if you're building a building, if you're buying a franchise, if you need a heavy equipment loan, you need an equipment loan for your business, First Liberty specializes in those sorts of things. They like to help businesses grow. They make their own decisions. They've been around since the 90s. They're good people. The Frost family, great people. They got a good head on their shoulders. They can help your business. Reach out to them, FirstLibertyGA.com. Any one of you in the nation for your business, FirstLibertyGA.com. Now, I want to talk about conspiracy theories when we come back, but I got to talk about a wild thing. So I'm friends with the folks of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission up in Nashville. Russ Moore and I got to be friends. I know he's controversial these days. He's a very nice guy. He left the Ethics Religious Liberty Commission. Brent Leatherwood, who's a friend of mine, is in charge of it. He put out a statement essentially praising Joe Biden for stepping aside for the good of the country. The Ethics Religious Liberty Commission, they're kind of the ethics body, for the public policy advocacy body for the Southern Baptists. A lot of Southern Baptists were very upset. They were upset with Brent. His kids went to Covenant Academy. They were there the day of the shooting, and he came out himself in favor of red flag laws after the shooting at Covenant Academy. And of course, everything's so politicized these days, people on the right are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you would do this, and you're tied to the ERLC, and now you're saying something nice about Biden. They've come out and excoriated Kamala Harris for her positions on religious liberty, her positions on education and school choice and parental rights and abortion, you name it. But this was just too much, and apparently, as I understand it, the chairman of the committee released a statement that Brent Leatherwood was being fired. And that wasn't the case, didn't follow procedure. Now the chairman is out and Brent is safe in his job. And honestly, that's a good thing. They're trying to thread a needle, and you can disagree. I personally would not have sent anything out on Joe Biden. I don't think it's in the wheelhouse there, but I understand why they did it. They try to not be a partisan organization because they're tied to a church and they're a 501c3 and they're trying to thread a needle. And these are difficult times for a group like that to do it. But these are good people. If you're in the SBC, I know Brent Leatherwood. I know the staff at the ERLC. I think they're very good people. They are committed evangelical Christians who do very good work advocating on behalf of religious liberty, advocating on behalf of parental rights, advocating on behalf of sanity. They've taken on internet gambling. They've taken on the transgender agenda. They've taken on abortion. They've raised money for and supported Christian crisis pregnancy centers. They do good work. And everybody wants to see everything through a political lens right now. And honestly, it is poisoning conversations in this country that should be had. And people are looking on other people with suspicion because, oh my gosh, you've said something else. I get this myself when I talk about it. So I've been able to tell you guys the plotting behind the scenes of the Democrats. I've been able to tell you what they're thinking on Biden. I've been able to tell you what senior people close to Biden are saying, what senior Democrats in the Senate are saying. And by and large, they've gotten it right, for example, that he would rally around Kamala. He didn't want an open convention. He would be departing from the race. He wanted the plan of how to do it to be able. Been able to tell you all of that because I maintain friendships with people I disagree with politically. You would not have that insider knowledge but for it. And I'm not friends with them because I want the knowledge. I'm friends with them because I like them even as we disagree. This closing of the mind to people who disagree and seeing everything through a partisan lens is really going to undermine our ability for civic discourse in this country. I like Brent Leatherwood. I don't always agree with the ERLC. I tend to 9 out of 10 times agree with them. I think they're good, well-meaning people, and I'd cut them some slack.